morning. Isaiah chapter number 9. Isaiah chapter number 9.
Get this one turned on and that one turned off. Okay. Isaiah chapter 9. Most of the time we think of that as a Christmas chapter. It is about the birth of the Lord Jesus. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But this morning I want you to look, if you would, in chapter number 9 of Isaiah and verse number 2. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse number 2. I started last Sunday morning trying to preach a series on He is the Lord. Last Sunday morning we preached about He is the Lord of defeatism. If you are defeated today, I want to tell you that the Lord is the Lord of defeatism, that He can overcome and has overcome every element of defeatism. If we are defeated today, it's because of our wrong thinking. And the Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Not just a conqueror, but more than a conqueror. What does that mean, preacher? Well, that means once the enemy has been defeated, he now becomes a servant or a slave unto us. Thank God when Jesus died on the cross, He defeated all the works of the devil. Say amen. He gave victory to all the saints of God. Say amen. Romans chapter 6 says that we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we should walk in newness of life. So anytime we live a defeated life, it is of our choosing. You might say, preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. And let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And the battle is won or lost in the mind. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Well, that was last Sunday's message on the Lord of defeatism. Today I want to preach to you on the Lord. He is the Lord over darkness. He is the Lord over darkness. You know, we are living in a very dark, dark age. We're living in a very dark time. We're living in an era now where men love darkness because their deeds are evil, according to the Bible. And the Bible said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse number 2, if you would stand with me, please, we'll read one verse of Scripture and then have a word of prayer, and you can be seated holding your Bible open. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, it says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Would you notice that? He said, the people that walked in darkness, they've seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. I hope and pray that the light of God's gospel has shined unto you today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, touch now this feeble voice. I pray for the unction and the power of God today. I pray that you'd visit with us from heaven. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'd bind every evil spirit, every evil force, every demonic power. Lord, they are subject unto us. I plant my foot upon their neck. They are now, Lord, no more to have right away in this service in our lives. I pray this in the blessed name of our Savior, for He hath conquered death, hell, and the grave, and we now live victorious in Him. I pray this morning that you'd grant victory to those that are struggling. Father, those that are defeated, those that are walking in darkness. Father, those that are dabbled in the darkness. I pray, God, that you'd break through that glorious light of the gospel. And Father, shine it unto us today. Those that's walking in sin, those lives that are apart from God, those that's walking, Father, in the way of this world, may the gospel of the light of the Lord Jesus shine. And as Jesus said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Now bless, we pray, in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. And amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. He is the Lord over the darkness. I gave you last Sunday morning, Romans chapter 14, verse number 9. The Bible said, for to this end Christ both died and rose that and revived that He might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. I want to ask you, is He Lord of your life today? Are there some things that you're still holding on to today? Are there some things that you say, preacher, you know, I've given God this and this and this, but preacher, to be honest with you, there's some areas of my life that I still have not given over to the Lord. Then he's not Lord of your life. Either he's Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. You know what our problem is most time is that it's just like if we were to go into your house today. Now, I know Miss Joanne, she is an expert at cleaning houses. That's what she does, her and Tammy. I would only imagine, I've never been in one of those houses, but I would imagine that it is clean from top to bottom, spick and span, everything in this place, just like your house. Right? Just like Pat's house. Now, what if I were to come over to Pat and Rodney's today and I knock on the door and they don't know I'm coming and they and all of a sudden Rodney say, hey, the preacher's here. Now, I'm just imagining, maybe I might be wrong, maybe I'm thinking of Frank's house or maybe I'm thinking, but I'm just imagining all of a sudden you hear the sound of things being put aside or whatever. I don't know. And that would be the case in my life, right? I mean, it's like, you know, okay, let's take these dirty dishes real quick and stick them in the oven and open up the... Y'all don't do that, do you? And so, you know, you come into the house and you sit down and the living room looks really good, Gail. I mean, everything's in place. Everything's neat. I mean, you know, it real quick, in about 10 minutes, everything got dusted and everything put in its place. And you say, well, I'm glad that's okay. But then you say, hey, can I go into the kitchen? Can I walk in here? And then you say, oh, no, not the kitchen. But maybe you might have known that the preacher was coming by, so you went ahead and spruced the kitchen up, and you cleaned the bathroom up, and you got most everything fixed except the bedroom. And in there you got clothes thrown over all over the place. You got, the bed's not made and everything. And then the preacher gets over, and you say, hey, by the way, I'd just like to take a walk around your house. You can't go in the bedroom. Why not? Well, you just can't. It's off limits. Danger. You'll get killed if you go in there. But maybe you're like some folks and you got everything spick and span. Everything is to a T. But when you walk all the way back to the back bedroom, back to that last closet, in that closet is the junk room. Everything you don't want people to see. I mean, just stuff's thrown in. Maybe nothing vile or nothing nasty or nothing like that, but it's just junk. You know, the Holy Spirit does that. He comes into our life and he says, I want to come in and visit with you. And you say, Holy Spirit, you can come into the den area. You can come into the living room. But that's as far as you go. And he says, no, I want to go a little further. I want to go into the kitchen of your heart. I want to go in down the hallway. I want to go into the bathroom. I want to go into the bedroom. I want to go into that closet. Or you got everything just junk piled in, just stowed away. By the way, don't go in there, okay? Don't go in there. Why? We got some junk in there. We got junk in the attic. We're going to have a big junk sale here, or a junk giveaway, or whatever. Amen? If you're like me, then most of the time, and by the way, you would not want to try to even dare go in my shed. My shed, you see, in my shed, I got my stuff. And my wife's part of the shed is her junk. But it's my stuff. I mean, one of these days I'm going to use that stuff. Amen? It's been sitting in there for years, but I'm still going to use it. The Holy Spirit's like that. He says, I want to go into every area of your life. I want to search out. I want to shine the light. I want to get the flashlight out. I want to get down on the floor and look around and see what you got down there. I want to shine the light on that. Want to see it. Go back here to Isaiah chapter 9 verse 2. He said, for they that walked in darkness, literally they groped in darkness. Have you ever been into a place that, I mean, all the lights are shut off, all the natural lighting is gone, and you're just kind of groping along, you're trying to feel your way through, and all of a sudden, y'all ever been in one of those years ago? We used to do all that stuff years ago. My daughter said, just say, why didn't you ever take us trick or treating? I said, well, we changed a lot of that, you know, my way. But when I was, my daughter said, did you ever go trick or treating? Sure did. I went one year as a Green Hornet. I put on an overcoat and a mask. And y'all know who the Green Hornet is? you missed out. He's one of the best superheroes. Anyhow. But, you know, you go into those places like a haunted house or whatever, and you're feeling around. All of a sudden, I got cobwebs all over me. And you're groping around in the darkness trying to find a ray of light that you can find some way through that place. That's what he said in Isaiah 9. We that were in lost without Jesus Christ, we that were alienated from Jesus Christ, we were groping around in the darkness. We didn't know where to go and how to get there. We didn't know anything about heaven. We didn't know anything about God. We didn't know anything about the Bible. And we're just groping around. But all of a sudden, he shined the light on us. Aren't you glad for that day that you got the light shine on you? Amen? Aren't you glad for the day that the light of the glorious gospel shone in your life, and by the good grace of God, you said, yes, I want to be saved. Yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, I believe the Bible. Yes, I believe in Jesus. And the light was shown. The Bible says much about light. John 1:1-5 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. 1 John 1:7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I eavesdropped this morning as I walked by. Brother Keith was teaching, and I heard him say, the psalmist teaching about the psalmist, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. I didn't hear all, but I heard that part. And truly, the Word of God right here, what you have in your hand right this morning. By the way, how many Bibles we got today? Lift them up. Amen. Oh, everybody ought to bring a Bible to church. If you don't have one, we'll get you one. But this is the light of God's Word. How do you know what to do in life? How do you know what kind of decision to make in life? How do you know who to marry? How do you know what business transaction to do? How do you know what God wants you to do? This is the light of God's Word. Amen? You know how so many people are confused and mixed up? They don't know which way is up and which way is down because they don't read their Bible. Amen? It's like starting out somewhere and going on a trip, and you say, where are you going? You say, I'm not sure where I'm going, and I don't even have a road map, but I'm hoping to get there. If that's all you got, you're going to end up going around in circles and circles and circles. This is God's road map. It is the light. It shines into us today. And beloved, today, may I reiterate, may I reemphasize, may I just say it again, that we are in a very dark world. Amen? If you don't believe that, turn on the news. Somebody killing, somebody shooting, there's something going on all the time. We're in a dark world. We're in a very dark society, where men call evil good and good evil. And he says here that the Lord is the Lord over darkness. I want to give you three things this morning, time we've got. Notice number one this morning, three times that he turned the lights back on in our lives. Three times, and the first in the matter of salvation. In Genesis chapter number 1, verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Y'all believe that? Say amen. We did not start from a little tadpole swimming around somewhere and all of a sudden one day decide we were going to get legs and pop out of the water and walk upon the sand. We didn't become like a little old gecko lizard. My friend, we were created in the image and likeness of God. Amen. God is not a tadpole. God is not a monkey. God is not some alien-looking being. We are created in the image and the likeness of God. In the beginning, God created everything. If you don't believe verse 1 of Genesis 1, then, my friend, you don't believe the rest of this book. We didn't evolve. We didn't come from a lower species of animals. We did not come by accident. We were created from the dust of the ground, and God breathed into us the breath of life. Y'all believe that? Amen. For the Bible goes on to say, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. No shape, no form. It was darkness. darkness overshadowed that. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And in verse 2 of Genesis 1, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. It was in darkness. But then the Bible said in verse number 3, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Hey, I got news for you. When the Spirit of God begins to move, things begin to happen. Things start picking up. Amen. When the Spirit of God begins to move, I'm thankful. Aren't you, for the day the Spirit of God moved across your life and He showed you the light of salvation? That salvation is not found in a man. It's not found in a church. It's not found in just saying some prayer. It's not found in lighting some candles, putting money in the offering plate, going down and getting baptized. Salvation is found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He shined the light. And you saw that. You saw yourself lost without God. And the light, the glorious light of the gospel in the matter of salvation. Listen to what Proverbs says. Proverbs 4:19. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Why is it that lost people make mistakes? Why is it the lost people, their life is a wreck? Why is it the lost people have no direction? It's simply because they're trying to walk in the darkness. And as they're trying to walk in the darkness, they're stumbling. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how to get there. They've heard about heaven. They believe there's a place called heaven. But my friend, the majority of people do not know how to get to heaven. Amen. Amen. We need the gospel. We need the light. We need to shine the light. There are folks here in Ramseur. There's people in Franklinville. There's people down the street in Bennett. There's folks all over this country that's lost without Jesus Christ. And they need the gospel of Jesus. They need the gospel, the light of salvation. He turned the light on in my life. The Bible said that we're headed to a place of light. I enjoy a place. I never had like darkness. Don't raise your hand. I've got a cousin. She's just strange. That's all I can say. She's just strange. She doesn't decorate at all for Christmas. But come Halloween, oh, listen, she everything. I mean, listen, just everything. And she just loves that. But she doesn't decorate for Christmas at all. I just don't understand that. You know, Christmas is a season of light, right? I mean, you put the lights on the Christmas tree and you got luminaries out. And that, my friend, is a picture of Isaiah 9:2, when the light of God shone down in this dark world. And thank God we've got hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a manner of salvation when the light shone unto you. Amen. Second of all this morning, go with me, if you would, in the book of Exodus. God turned the light on one more time in the matter of supplying our needs. Everybody's got a Bible. Turn over here for just a minute. Exodus chapter number 10 and verse number 21. Exodus 10, 21. I want to ask you a question. Don't raise your hand. How many of you have some type of need here this morning? Don't raise your hand. Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's spiritual. Maybe it's mental. Maybe it's emotional. I don't know. But if everybody would be honest, you'd say, preacher, I've got some type of need here today. Maybe it's a need in your family. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's somebody that you know of that's got a need. But you've got somebody. You've got somebody right now. You can think of their name. You've got a need. And you don't know how that's going to get met. Exodus chapter 10 and verse number 21. The Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, and even darkness which may be felt. Wow. You imagine that? Darkness that could be felt. They tell me, I've never been this far north, but they tell me, like when you get on up into Alaska and get on further north, that there is, the days are just a very short period of sunlight, and it's, depending on the time of year, but it's darkness, maybe 12, 14 hours a day, I'm not sure exactly, but darkness. Can you imagine that this darkness that he's talking about here in Egypt, this darkness that could be felt? Then he says, and Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness over the land of Egypt for 3 days. For 3 days. picture of the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. Every time you see 3 days, always remember there's the God of the third day. If you'll study your Bible out, you'll find this, that on that third day, a miracle takes place. Amen. And not just in this instance, but every time that there is a mention of 3 days in the Bible, for instance with Jonah, for instance with any time there's a mention of 3 days, you'll find a miracle coming at the end of the third day. Now here's this. And the Bible said in verse 23, if you got your place there, and they saw not one another, neither rose from any place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Here's how this works. In the land of Egypt, Moses stretched forth his hand and there was darkness that covered all the land. And the Bible said it was so dark that men could not even get outside their house. They stayed inside their houses. It was so dark they couldn't see their hand in front of their face. However, look what that verse says. Read it with me if you got your Bible open. But all the Israelites had what? Say it real loud. All the Israelites had what? They had light in their houses. How in the world could that happen? Over the land of Egypt, everything was dark. Over the land of Egypt, there was nothing but midnight. But in the house of all the Israelites, God turned the light switch on, and thank God they had supernatural light. So what does that mean for me today, preacher? God's going to pay my Duke Power bill? No. It means this, that my God shall supply all your what? Oh, excuse me. Not to correct you, but let me correct you. He shall supply all my need. My need. All my need. He's all I need. He's all I need. You say, preacher, I got this need and this need and this need. No, you don't. All you need is Jesus. All you need is Christ. He will supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And these Israelites, while everybody else was in darkness, while everybody else couldn't get outside their house, the Israelites had light inside their house. And thank God they didn't even have to pay Duke Power for it. Supernatural. How could God do that? How could God do that? My friend, if He is light and in Him there is no darkness at all, hey, I thank God that He was in the house of the Israelites and He was the center of the Israelites. And by the way, if He's the center of your home, He'll supply your need. Amen. Third of all, there's the light that for salvation, there's the light that satisfies our need, and then there's the light for soul winning. Look in Luke chapter 23. In Luke chapter 23, the Bible says that Jesus was led up to Golgotha's brow. And the Bible says it was about the sixth hour that the sun went black as sackcloth of hair. Jesus here died in darkness. You say, preacher, why did God put the sun out for that length of time? By the way, it was 3 hours. There's a miracle. There is no known record, according to history, where an eclipse lasted longer than 15 minutes. So that means this. Listen to me. When the moon moves in front of the sun and blocks the rays of the sun on the earth, the moon is moving and the earth is moving and the sun is moving. And as they move, there's the longest record on record, the longest period of darkness on record is 15 minutes. 15 minutes. When the moon comes between the sun and the earth and casts its shadow on the earth, it only lasts for a brief time. Why? Because it's moving. What did God do there? I don't know how He did it, but here's what I think He did. He looked up to the sun and says, either sun refused to shine, or either He said to the moon, moon, hold still in orbit, Earth holds still in orbit, and for 3 hours from high noon, it was dark. But of course, if you're the God that controls all the light, you can do that. Amen? If you're the one that made the sun and the moon and the stars, you can do that. Amen? I serve Him that made it all. But here Jesus died. The scriptures record that He cried with a loud voice, "It is finished." And God turned the lights back on. When Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished," all of a sudden the light began to shine again. And beloved, it's been shining ever since. The light of the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The light that shone into your heart. The light that shone in your life. One day when you were lost without Jesus. One day when you were undone. One day the light shone and you said, "Yes, I need to be saved." Micah chapter 3 verse 6 says this: "Therefore night shall be unto you that shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you, and the sun shall go down over the prophets." Let me emphasize that. How many of you in this building this morning, you were won to Christ because of somebody else, either at home, preaching service, but you were won to Christ because of somebody else? Raise your hand. Everybody that's saved should be, because somebody had to tell you about Christ, didn't they? Somebody had to tell you about Christ. Would you agree with me today that it's important to tell others about Christ? Here's what Micah 3:6 says: "Therefore, night shall be unto you that you shall not have a vision." I'm reminded of Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. Why did Jesus die on the cross? To save sinners. When He looked over to that thief beside of Him and said, "Today thou shalt be with me in paradise." And beloved, the main job of the church today is to tell lost sinners about the saving grace of God. Is that He needs me, He needs you, He needs everyone to tell everybody about the saving grace of God. But this is what the verse says: "Therefore night shall be unto you that you shall not have a vision, and it shall be dark unto you." Do you know why? And I tried to get some candles early this morning. The Lord put this in my mind. I couldn't do it, so you'll have to bear with me. But imagine every one of you having a candle this morning. Could you imagine what it would be like if we had this place total darkness and one person lit a candle and then another person lit a candle? We wouldn't need these lights here, would we? We wouldn't need these lights. And God says this: if we don't light the candle, if we don't carry the gospel, guess what's going to happen? Do you know why churches are closing their doors? Do you know why churches are folding up? Do you know why churches are going bankrupt? It's because they've lost their vision. Where there is no vision, the people perish. And beloved, this morning He says, He goes on, "And the sun shall go down over the prophets." Oh, would to God we don't want the sun to set on the men of God, on the missionaries, on the evangelists. We want the gospel. That's the only hope of America. The only hope of this nation is right here. Would you tell somebody about Christ? Would you? Would you be willing just to tell one person about Christ? I saw this week, and I wanted to share it with you. I wanted to use those candles, but I didn't have them. But here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask one person, would you be willing to share the light of God's Word with somebody, just one person? Would you be willing to share that with one person? Brother Frank, would you be willing to share that with one person? Would you stand up? Would you be willing to share that with, I want you to point to somebody. Now, we're gonna pretend everybody in here is unsaved. Brother Frank, would you point to somebody that you'd share the gospel with, you'd share the light with? Just point to one person. All right. Would you stand up? Would you share the light with somebody? Would you point to one person? Okay. You stand up.
Now, Brother Frank, you point to somebody else. All right? You stand up, please. Would you stand up? All right? Would you share the gospel? Would you point to somebody? Would you point to somebody? Just point to somebody. You point to somebody else. You point to somebody else. You point to somebody. Would you do that? Okay? All right? If they point to you, stand up. Stand up. When you stand up, if you share the light, would you point to somebody? Point to somebody. When they point to you, just stand up. When they point to you, just stand up. Don't forget about folks on the front row. Point to them one at a time. One at a time. When you stand up, when you stand up, you point to somebody. Just point to somebody. You point to somebody. Point to somebody. You share the gospel with one person. Just point, 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 stand up. Point, stand up. Quickly. Quickly. Still got some folks lost. There you go. Point. Stand up if you can. If it's hard to get up, I understand. Is everybody standing? Everybody standing? Okay. Brother Frank, I want you to answer me no on this. I want you to answer me no. Will you share the gospel with one person? Everybody else that was pointed to because of him, would you sit down? You see how that works? If we share the gospel with one person, and that person shares it with somebody else, and somebody else, you know what will happen? Can I tell you something, folks? It takes me a long time to understand this. There's only two times that Jesus said the word church. And both of those times, he said, my church. It's not my church. It's not your church. It's his church. But you know what he did say to us? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of all people. That's what our job is. And you know what? If we do it God's way, guess what will happen? He'll build his church. He'll fill these people. Wouldn't you like to see lost people coming in the door and just hungry for the things of God, hungry for the gospel of the Lord Jesus? Wouldn't you like to see this church running over? Listen, it's not my church, it's not your church, but for the glory of the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Will you share the light? Will you share the light? Will you share the light? The light! He's the Lord over darkness! I want you to play Joanne again. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's risen from the dead. He's Lord. Is he Lord? Is he Lord enough of your life that you would say, preacher, by the good grace of God, I'll share the light with one person. Preacher, by the good grace of God, between now and the first of the year, I'll make it a point to pray. I'll make it a point to go. I'll make it a point to share the gospel. I mean somebody you could think of that's lost. Somebody that lives around here that's lost. Family members. Somebody that you know of that's unsaved. Would you share the gospel with them? Would you? You see what will happen if one will share the light. See what will happen? Oh, my soul. We need a fresh burden for the lost. We need to see our loved ones that's going to languish in hell. We're going to see them die, and we're going to stand before God if we don't do something about it, friend. I'm not trying to put you on a guilt trip. I'm trying to make you aware. Time is running out. Harvest is plenteous. Labors are few. Would you stand to your feet, please, here today? Heavenly Father, I pray. Oh, God, I pray. Lord, let's just not talk about winning souls to Christ. Let's do it. Let's just not ask you to help us to be soul winners. Let's just do it. Let's put, as Brother James said, put some feet behind the prayers. Oh, God, I pray, break our hearts for the unsaved. There are family members, lost loved ones, acquaintances, husbands, wives, brothers, sisters. They need somebody to share the light. I pray, oh God, burden our heart for that in Jesus' name. Heads bowed, eyes are closed. Can you sing this from your heart today? He is Lord, He is Lord, He's risen from the dead. He's Lord of my life. If He's Lord, then you'll want to
share the good news of salvation. Maybe you hadn't been doing that. Maybe this morning you got somebody in your heart and you say, oh God, I'm burdened for so-and-so. I want to see them saved. I've got a brother outside the fold. I've got a sister. I got this. I've got somebody on my heart. By the good grace of God, help me to win them to Jesus before it's eternally too late. While we sing, would you obey the Lord? If God's pleading with your heart, you come. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, you come. We'll have somebody to pray with you. Let's sing together. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ. One more thing, and if you'll commit to the Lord, don't commit to me. I'm just a mortal man. But if you'll commit to the Lord, by the good grace of God, between now and the first of the year, I'm going to pray and do my best to tell one person, try to get them saved, try to tell them about Christ. I can't get saved for them, but I can give them the gospel. By the good grace of God, some folks in here have never, ever won a soul to Christ. You say, preacher, I don't really know how. Well, we'll teach you how. We've done that. We've gone over it. We've done that on Wednesday night. But you might say, preacher, really don't know how, but I've got a desire. If nothing else, you share your testimony, how you came to Christ. You can share what God's done for you. But you're burdened, you're concerned for these that are lost without Christ. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. As we sing one more stanza, if God's moved on your heart, you obey Him and come. He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. I sure hope that God did something in your heart today, because we need folks to carry the light. Don't expect one person to do it. Don't expect two people to do it. Everybody needs to carry the light. When we fail to carry the light, it'll get dark. The lights will be going out. Carry the light of the gospel. 6 o'clock tonight, be back in the house of the Lord. There's nothing more important being in church. You'll learn, you'll grow, you'll fellowship. There's nothing more important being in the house of God. Be back tonight at 6 o'clock. May we pray. I'll ask Brother Brawley Parrish if he would close his prayer.